We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of someone calling into Sports Talk Radio.
Yeah, this is Flo, longtime caller, first time on air. I just wanted to say that I think it is absolute hogwash not to go out there and try Progressive's Name Your Price tool. You can see all your coverage options, and options are how you get rings. Championship rings. And parades of rings.
Finding options to fit your budget with the Name Your Price tool. Only at Progressive.com.
You know, not for nothing, but my favorite rings have candy on them.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use the promo code RotoWire when you deposit for a free contest entry today. It is Thursday, November 5th, 2015. You may have noticed a different voice opening up today. That's because Clay is in Arizona for a baseball conference for a week. So today will be hosted by myself, Jake Letarski. I'll be hosting alongside John McKechnie. If you're out there on Twitter, you can find John at Johnny McKex. You can find myself at Jakeski52. John, now you're a Georgia grad here. You want to tell me how many Todd Gurley shares you own this year and how ahead of the game you got there?
Well, I definitely have a few of them. I drafted him in the first draft I took part in back in Las Vegas in July, and I took him in the third round of a 14-team league, and people looked at me like I was just out of my mind because, you know, there was a bit of uncertainty about how quickly he'd be as good as he is, and I feel pretty vindicated on that front.
Yeah, I'm looking at our 2015 overall rankings on RotoWire right now for standard formats here, and even for, well, not quite for PPR, the receivers dominate the top three of the top four, but in standard formats, Todd Gurley's number one overall player rest of season there, followed by Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Rob Gronkowski. You got to feel pretty good about that, right?
Absolutely. I feel like Georgia got the short end of the Brian Schottenheimer-Todd Gurley swap that ended up happening.
Yeah, exactly. Right on there. But yeah, Todd Gurley will be squaring off against Adrian Peterson and the Minnesota Vikings this week, but we'll get to that a little bit later here. First off, just want to mention that this podcast is now available on iTunes and Stitcher, so John and I and the rest of our podcast crew here would really appreciate it if you could take time to leave us a nice review on those platforms here. Going to start out, before we dive into the game previews, by mentioning the Week 9 buys. This is one of the biggest bye weeks of the season for quarterbacks, running backs, receivers. We've got the Arizona Cardinals, Baltimore Ravens, Detroit Lions, Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Seattle Seahawks on bye. So you have some tough bye week situations this week, John?
I absolutely do. I have several receiving cores where guys like John Brown and DeAndre Hopkins kind of make up the core of my pass catchers and flex options. So that's really killing me, as well as Tyler Lockett, obviously on a bye week as well. And then Steve Smith, not only on bye, but his season's over. Mm-hmm. So a lot of waiver wire scrounging for me this week.
Absolutely. And with the waiver wire scrounging, you mentioned Steve Smith. I mean, him being out the rest of the season, that made guys like Kamar Aiken and Crockett Gilmore hot pickups this week. But not quite as hot as they could be, because you're not going to be able to plug and play them right away.
Exactly.
Yeah, you see a lot of targets kind of going those guys' way without Smith.
Kamar Aiken's been a guy that I feel people have been sort of up and down on throughout the year. Like, he'll have a game like he did against Pittsburgh where he plays well, steps up, catches a touchdown, but other weeks where he just kind of disappears. I really don't like the rest of the Ravens' receiving options outside of him. You know, Chris Givens is really hit or miss. As is Jeremy Ross, so mm-hmm. Not totally sure about anyone except for Aiken and mm-hmm. Crockett Gilmore the rest of the way there.
Yeah, just a side note, on Tuesday I called Chris Givens the poor man's Torrey Smith. Completely hit or miss, but not nearly as much upside.
it's not exactly a ringing endorsement.
Exactly. Here, well, let's get on here to the bread and butter of the podcast, and that is the Week 9 preview. We're going to start with tonight's game, Thursday night, 8:25 p.m. Eastern time. We've got a pretty enticing showdown here between the Browns and the Bengals. The Browns will be traveling to Cincinnati, where the Bengals are 11-point favorites, so quite the spread there for the Thursday night game. Over-under on that game, 45.5, so I guess the Vegas guy is expecting it to be a little bit high-scoring there, as more high-scoring than you'd expect from a Thursday night game possibly here. But the big story here is Josh McCown has been ruled out. He's dealing with both shoulder and ribs injuries. Took a beating against Arizona here, and that means Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, will be taking over. John, do you have any expectations for Johnny Manziel tonight?
My knee-jerk reaction when Manziel was announced as the starter was I just immediately went back to last December when Manziel started in Cincinnati against the Bengals and had, I believe, one of like the worst starting quarterback performances in history. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I think Manziel has improved since then. He was a rookie. He was still kind of getting over his party boy image. Back then, it seems like he's grown up a little bit this year, but I'm still have a hard time thinking he's going to be able to do much tonight.
Yeah, just going back to the stat line, that was December 14th of last year. Completed 10 of 18 passes for a whopping 80 yards here. That's 56%. Stellar 4.4 yards per attempt. Oof. And 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That's good for a QBR of 1.1. So probably one of the worst game scores by a starter in recent memory there. But again, like you mentioned, John, I like that you say that because he has grown a lot as a person, you would think. Of course, still under NFL investigation here. There's probably some details to be sorted out there. Mm-hmm. But he seems to, the impression within the organization seems to be that he's kind of worked that type of stuff out. Now, he will be down a couple of weapons tonight. Both Brian Hartline and Andrew Hawkins have been ruled out with concussions there. Does that concern you at all?
Well, I think I actually just saw that his favorite receiver when Manziel was getting regular playing time earlier this season was Travis Benjamin. I mm-hmm. think in that case, Benjamin's going to be in line for a very solid game tonight. And I think Taylor Gabriel also could step up.
Yeah, Taylor Gabriel has worked his way ahead of Dwayne Bowe on the depth chart. I mean, Dwayne Bowe's been inactive. Well, he was active last week for the first time mm-hmm. due to the Andrew Hawkins injury. And he's been inactive, I think, a healthy scratch 3 weeks in a row before that, and now he'll be active for tonight's game, I'd imagine, there. But I don't have a lot of expectations for somebody like him. I think Gabriel is the guy that they turn to more often this season.
And do you think of Barnage is going to see any kind of drop off tonight, you know, with Manziel under center?
I actually really like Barnage as a play tonight. I think last season when
Barnage was just kind of getting integrated into the Cleveland Browns system. He spent a lot of time with Johnny Manziel on the second team offense. Of course, we had Brian Hoyer last year. So that's part of the reason I think that Travis Benjamin came out to such a fast start, especially when Johnny Manziel was involved, because they already had that type of rapport working on the second team last season. Right. And I think we're going to see quite a bit of the same here with both Barnage and Benjamin tonight. Just want to touch on Taylor Gabriel. He's caught at least one target in every game this season. Last week he was targeted 7 times. I always follow the targets. You'll hear me refer to that all the time. But he caught 4 passes for 32 yards. So not the most stellar fantasy night, but think in that game last week against Arizona, Hartline scored 2 touchdowns, and they'll be missing Hartline as well as Hawkins. So maybe there's some time for Gabriel. Of course, most of the attention can and should go to Travis Benjamin. But if you're in a 14-16 team league where you are devastated by byes, there's a chance Gabriel's out there, and maybe there's a plug and play there a little bit. I'm not sure if he gets some of those extra targets or if they go equally between Benjamin, Barnage, and those guys.
Yeah, I could definitely see it just being heavily Barnage and Benjamin tonight.
Okay, what about on the Bengals side there? The Browns defense is quite a bit banged up here. Joe Hayden and Dante Whitner, they both have concussions. Tashawn Gibson still kind of being affected by that ankle injury, but he played last week and fully expected to play this week. You got to start all your Bengals tonight, right?
I do take a bit of pause this week, because this is where the Thursday night kind of slop fest kind of makes me a little concerned, because the Bengals are coming off an emotional win on the road in Pittsburgh, and I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are sort of like the big brother to the Bengals. They've always kind of been in the way, been able to beat them. So coming off a win like that, I don't really expect the Bengals to be firing on all cylinders. I think it certainly helps being at home against a banged up Browns defense. But my expectations are a bit tempered tonight, honestly.
Yeah, AJ Green, the number 2 wide receiver this week on Jeff Erickson's value meter. Andy Dalton, the number 7 quarterback. So, I mean, AJ Green had 17 targets last week. These guys, of course, you have to start them if you own them. It doesn't matter what the matchup is there.
But yeah, beyond them, I mean, do you really like you know, a guy like Jeremy Hill? Is he like a flex option for you, or where do you slot him in?
I could honestly see both Hill and Bernard being reasonably decent flex options. With the main rationale behind that is they're going against the number 32 ranked run defense in the league. Cleveland has given up an average of 147 yards per game on the ground. That is well last place. I mean, the Lions are second to last, and they've given up 133.8. So that's an 13-yard margin there. My math's just a little off. But I mean, the matchup there is excellent. Of course, you can't rely completely on matchup, and the timeshare might take away a little bit. But I think they're both decent plays this week.
Okay.
Flex plays, if not maybe an RB2.
Okay.
Yeah, right there. Let's move on to the Sunday slate of action here. It's kicking off at 1 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to talk about probably the most enticing 1 o'clock game on the schedule there.
This isn't prime time, you know?
Yeah, I'm surprised this didn't get flexed to at least the game of the week. But nonetheless, we have the Green Bay Packers going to Carolina, over-under on that game, 46.5. And once again, the Green Bay Packers are road favorites there. They're 2.5-point favorites on the road. Last week when they were playing Denver, they were 3-point favorites on the road. And of course, I'm not sure that's characteristic of what exactly both teams have to offer. But nonetheless, after that performance, you think they'd give the edge to Carolina in Vegas, but I guess not.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised to see that. Maybe Vegas is just so down on Indianapolis that they weren't overly impressed by that win on Monday night, because, you know, Indianapolis did end up going toe-to-toe with them, taking it to overtime, where, you know, and the Panthers easily could have put that game away several times and just really didn't in the fourth.
Yeah, the Panthers had that 17-point lead in the fourth quarter, and had they held on to that and turned it right around and been good to go for the rest of the game, maybe opened up a 20-plus point lead, this line could look very different here. But, I mean, of course, myself, I'm a big Packer fan up here in Wisconsin, but from an outside perspective, are you kind of counting on an Aaron Rodgers bounce back, or are you going with some of your guys this week?
I mean, I would be shocked if he doesn't, you know, surpass set. I don't think he'll throw for 70 yards any other time this season. That was just a complete aberration, in my opinion. I don't know where that came from. I see him bouncing back, but obviously it's not the best matchup. You know, if you have Rodgers, you're going to start him regardless. But Panthers defense, you know, obviously Josh Norman is a rising star, and then the Packers O-line has been a bit... you know, weak, and then Quan Short, Star Latulé, Luke Kuechly, you know, you got some real great defensive guys in the front seven there. So you're a little bit concerned. I'm concerned about the Packers' run game as well.
Yeah, Eddie Lacy has been, you know, down for the last couple of weeks. He did get to find the end zone, which is one of the few bright spots of last week's game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this Packer offense didn't quite look like it was clicking there. It was probably a career worst game for Rodgers. And it honestly, I heard a lot of people saying that, you know, does Denver have the best defense of all time? Or are they on pace to have the best defense of all time?
I mean, it seems to be trending that way. You know, if they continue in that fashion, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really, really tough to go into Denver and beat them later on in the season.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I don't think that you know Norman and the rest of that Carolina secondary necessarily matches up with guys like Aqib Talib and T.J. Ward back there. Sure. But, I mean, one of the better defenses in Carolina, it's tough to argue with their momentum up to this point. What about on the Carolina side here? Do you have any expectations for guys like Cam Newton? I mean, the combination of C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman torched the Packers' run defense last week there. Do you think John Stewart has another solid game?
Yeah, that's been my thinking this whole week looking at this matchup, is that with how well Denver ran the ball, obviously it'll be a focus in practice this week for the Packers to try to key on the run game, because they know that mm-hmm. Carolina isn't quite as explosive through the air or potentially as Denver, but you know they're going to be looking to slow down Jonathan Stewart and Cam Newton off the read option. But I still like the Panthers' run game options in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the only knock on Stewart as a potential running back to the rest of the season is getting those goal line carries vultured by Cam Newton, or even that bowling ball Mike Tolbert there. that's the perfect way to describe him, right?
Yeah, exactly. I love Mike Tolbert. Yeah, he's really a human bowling ball. But I was looking at the DraftKings prices just for a brief DFS moment, and Jonathan Stewart, I believe, was at like 4,300. So that kind of seemed like a nice value for him. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I would have to agree with you that at 4,300, I mean, he's checking in with a price cheaper than guys like Shane Vereen, LeGarrette Blount, Frank Gore, Lamar Miller. I mean, D'Angelo Williams is pricier, and then rightfully so, but mm-hmm. it takes a while to get up to that tier there. And I mean, if you came down to Stewart or Vereen this week, now, granted, DraftKings is a PPR format, so I think that's, sure. you know, Stewart isn't known for catching a ton of passes out of the backfield there, so that might lower his price a little bit on the DraftKings format there. But nonetheless, I think he's a solid play at that price, whether it's as an RB2 or a flex there. And just while we're on the topic of DraftKings, you mentioned having to start Aaron Rodgers everywhere in your season-long formats. But in daily this week, he's the second-highest-priced quarterback behind Tom Brady. He is $1,100 cheaper, sitting there at $7,400. But he is... I would have a tough time using Rodgers in daily this week.
I would as well.
On the road with the matchup,
I really like the prices of the sub 7,000 quarterbacks this week. You got some really nice matchups that we'll get into a little bit later on. But yeah, there are some values you can find at quarterback this week without having to use Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the highest priced quarterback this week, Tom Brady, his Patriots are going to host the Washington Redskins, where there are 15-point favorites. That's probably one of the biggest point spreads I've seen all week. Over-under on that game is 52. So Vegas expects a shootout. That's the highest over-under mm-hmm. I have seen of the week. Do you think the Patriots cover 15?
I think they easily could. I think the Redskins are just, you know, for as well as Kirk Cousins played against Tampa Bay the other week, you got to take that with a grain of salt. And obviously the Patriots, they're just almost impossible to beat at home. I'm not sure what their streak is for covering at home, but I'm sure it's excellent, or their percentage of doing so. And I think this could be a game where we see Cousins kind of regress to the just interception, anytime he drops back type of play.
Yeah, I can see that happening very much. And I mean, the Washington run game has struggled quite a bit. That combination of Matt Jones and Alfred Morris mm-hmm. just isn't really cutting it there. It looks like they're getting a little bit closer to getting healthy here. I'm looking at DeSean Jackson, who's been just dealing with this hamstring injury and hasn't really seen the field since week one. Now, they're coming off a bye week here. The Redskins had a bye in week eight, so if anything, that might help their case a little bit. DeSean Jackson limited in Thursday's practice here, and basically for the second day in a row doing individual drills, but he intends to suit up, quote, Sunday, but that would give him an extra weapon here, but I'm not sure I'd count on him this week.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't. I would wait and see on DeSean Jackson, but I do like him down the line because I think Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback situation to have for him as opposed to RG3, obviously.
Yeah, you know, you want a pocket passer that can step up and throw the deep ball if you're DeSean Jackson. He's a real kind of a hit or miss player as well. So definitely want to watch that situation there. As far as the Patriots side, we already talked about Tom Brady. You know, Gronk is going to be one of the top plays of the week there. You can't take anything away from that. Of course, the running back situation, you know, LeGarrette Blount is so hit and miss. And then you have Deion Lewis here, limited in practice Wednesday, still waiting on Thursday's injury report. He's dealing with an abdomen injury, but apparently didn't have any setbacks in week 8, and he had a pretty big game there. He scored, let's see here, scored once through the air there, 6 catches, 93 yards. So Got to let Lewis get going in your PPR formats and even in your standard.
Absolutely, yeah. He's a really nice, like, dynamic piece in that offense.
Yeah, those that picked him up early on in the season are reaping the benefits.
Absolutely.
So far. All right, let's move on to the Titans at Saints. Another game where the home team is the heavy favorite here. The Saints 9.5-point favorites, over under 48 on that game. Drew Brees is going to attempt to follow up a historic performance against the Titans, and he will have, or I'm sorry, against the Giants. He's playing the Titans, but the Titans are the number 3 pass defense in the league, giving up just 197.9 yards per game. There is he going to be able to replicate those numbers here against the Titans?
I think Brees has kind of been a disappointment all season, and last week might be enough to kind of turn people back, you know, towards him. And I think we could see a lot of reactionary overusage of Drew Brees, especially in daily formats this week. And people aren't going to realize that, you know, just because the Titans don't have the kind of cachet of having a great defense, but people aren't going to realize that they have the number 3 pass defense. And I think that's definitely a concern.
Yeah, on paper, you think the Titans, and you look at that team, you know, doesn't have a great record.
Just fire their coach.
Yeah, they're going to be a mess. But they still do have some, they have some excellent, you know, options back there. And just because the coach changes doesn't mean the whole defense gets overhauled and they forget how to pass these. So something to worry about there. And then I look as far as fantasy points against to wide receivers, they're kind of sitting right in the middle of the pack, 22 total points to wide receivers. So they're, you know, kind of right grouped in there with the Lions and the Jets, who you think maybe the Jets would be a little bit better there. But a surprisingly good pass defense. So you're right, maybe a little bit of Breeze over usage. A lot of people like to suffer from the recency bias, especially when playing in daily. And then you look at the DraftKings prices there. I'm trying to find Brees. What do we got for Brees here?
7,200.
So yeah, that's quite a bit actually for someone like Brees. I mean, that makes him that's because I didn't think he'd be the third highest priced quarterback. I scrolled down right away.
Right.
But there's a lot of decent options underneath there that you might want to take a look at just because of the matchup here. Same thing, Brandon Cooks broke out last week. But
about time. I have plenty of shares of him, and I've been waiting frustrated all season.
Yeah, are you expecting repeats of that? How optimistic are you about Cooks?
Well, I really like his game, and I really think he fits well in that offense. So I've been, you know, more surprised than anything that he hasn't been finding all the receptions that he did last year, where I think he was near the league lead before he left for the rest of the season with an injury. If he's rounding back into that form, then I definitely would jump back on the Cooks bandwagon.
Yeah, and he was able to turn his 8 targets into 6 catches for 88 yards and 2 scores last week. The week before, he was targeted 13 times against the Colts. So
trending
the targets
upwards
are there. Yeah, the targets are there, and the performance, of course, as we like to say, will soon follow there.
One thing I would like to, you know, go back to Breeze on, you know, on the flip side, you know, we were saying, you know, there are a lot of negatives to this matchup, but at the same time, it is Drew Brees. It is at home. He does seem to be clicking with his receivers, Willie Snead and Cooks, and Benjamin Watson, actually. So Brees is still a viable option, especially in season long, but like we said, daily, you might want to look elsewhere.
Yeah, and you mentioned Snead, a non-participant in Wednesday's practice, apparently dealing with a bit of a knee ailment. You're definitely going to want to check the RotoWire injury reports, make sure he gets at least a day of practice here before relying on him
definitely.
In any kind of daily formats here. And you also mentioned Ben Watson. Is he, in a 12-team league, he's got to be a tight end one rest of season, right?
I think so. I think he's slotting in right behind Travis Kelce, I think, in total points scored for tight ends this season or something like that. I mean, that that's pretty good. And obviously that's buoyed by some really big performances, but all those have come in recent weeks. So you got to like the direction that he's heading in. And if you buy into the sort of explosion of offense last weekend, then you definitely want to believe in Benjamin Watson as well.
Yeah, and of course his price will be heading up in daily formats, but you don't have to pay any more to use him if you own him in season long, so I think he's an excellent matchup. Our value meter has him as the number 6 tight end on the board this week. Just a quick rundown: Gronk number 1, Greg Olsen, Jordan Reed, Gary Barnage tonight, and Heath Miller are the only 5 tight ends checking in before Watson on the list there, so definitely some potential for him rest of season.
Nice.
All right, let's move on to the Dolphins and the Bills. Now this game... this is a rematch of week 3, of course, the division matchup. Bills pretty much routed Miami 41-14 in week 3 here. Now, these are almost two entirely different teams from that matchup. Of course, Miami with a new coach. Do you think that this is going to go any differently?
I think it absolutely will go differently. I think the Dolphins were just completely lost at the beginning of the season. I think that week 3 game was probably the beginning of the end for Joe Philbin down there in Miami. So I think they're playing better. Obviously, when they faced a real test in the Patriots last week, it didn't turn out so well. But the Bills haven't been playing as well, and I think the Dolphins can definitely give them a close game.
Yeah, and of course, Tyrod Taylor will be back for the Bills, so we won't need to worry about that EJ Manuel show anymore.
Yikes.
Yeah, that is always scary right there. And Sammy Watkins, he's kind of heading towards a questionable ruling. I would say, like, if I had to guess today, he'd probably be ruled questionable. He's been limited in practice for most of the week here. And, of course, limited again Thursday, just looking at today's injury report that is already out and running. So, I mean... say Watkins is active. Can you start him? I mean, the Dolphins have shut down some pretty decent wide receiving options.
Yeah,
this year.
They're pretty good on the back end, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the offense or the quarterbacks, but I'm just not a big Sammy Watkins believer this season. I know a lot of people were hot on him both his rookie year and this year, but I'm kind of staying away from him. I mean, if I get burned by that, that's fine, but I feel like I've been right most of the time by not using him.
Yeah, I reluctantly took Sammy Watkins in one draft because I'm someone that everyone has a price tag, and he fell far enough for me where I thought I could get a value. But
sure,
it's a lesson learned for future years where you can't necessarily fall into that trap if you don't like a player, trust your gut. But at the same time, I just want to touch on another Bills receiver, Robert Woods, 9 catches on 13 targets week 7 against the Jaguars, 84 yards and a touchdown. You thinking of that more of an anomaly there, or does he get some decent targets regardless of, because it doesn't look like Percy Harvin's going to play or suit up anytime soon here for that matter, and with Watkins maybe a little bit banged up, of course Charles Clay, another option for the Bills there. Is Woods ownable in a 12-team format?
I think he is. It seems like he has a pretty carved out role in the offense, and I think he's one of the better options, more consistent, that they have on the outside. I mean, I don't get overly excited about Robert Woods, but I mean, he's someone that's viable maybe as like a big league flex, or you know, a third wide receiver if you have a 3 wide receivers league like that.
Yeah, I always look in those deeper formats maybe if you have 3 wide receivers and you think, who can I count on to have a floor of like 6 to 8 points to fill in a desperate bye week? And I think 6 to 8 fantasy points is perfectly attainable for Woods on a week-to-week basis with some upside mixed in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Well, let's move on to the Rams at the Vikings. Vikings hosting the Rams, where they are 2.5-point favorites there. Over under pretty low, 1.5, so not expected to be super high scoring. Maybe quarterback play has something to do with it. Who knows? But the real focus of this game is going to be on the ground with both teams' dynamic rushing attacks. We alluded to Todd Gurley early in the show here, one of my favorite players and that I'm fortunate enough to own him in a couple leagues. Didn't get any Adrian Peterson shares this week. Adrian Peterson's been pretty vocal this week. He doesn't want people to forget about him. Still probably thinks he's the best running back in the league there. Mm-hmm. But is he going to get pretty drastically outperformed by Gurley this week? I mean, Adrian Peterson's got a tough job against this Rams defense.
Yeah, I think both defenses really are impressing me, especially against the run. I really like the Vikings linebacking core and their front as well. You know, the Rams have the big name guys up front. Aaron Donald obviously is kind of a real rising star in this league, but I do think Gurley is probably going to be able to get his more than AP is on Sunday.
Yeah, now the Vikings are a very surprising 5-2. Now, as a Packer fan, I'm seeing early in the season, yeah, I want the Vikings to win a couple games. I don't want them to get too good of a draft pick, but now I'm looking there like they're a game behind the Packers in the division all of a sudden.
I mean, are you starting to sweat that? I mean, that's a question for you as a Packers fan.
Personally, I'm not starting to sweat that. It is the Minnesota Vikings after all, but you're right. Their defense has been much improved, and I mean, they've got those guys like Anthony Barr.
Eric Kendricks.
Yeah, Chad Greenway, all those guys. That linebacking core is pretty terrific there, and as a result of some of those early draft picks over all the years.
True.
So that'll be an more intriguing matchup than I thought at the start of the season when it actually happens.
The one Minnesota guy I wanted to get to on the outside of aside from AP is, what do you think of Stephon Diggs? I mean, he's been kind of a trendy, recently added in most leagues type of guy over the last 3-4 weeks. I think he's looked really good. I think he's caught touchdowns in two consecutive weeks now, and he's looked darn good doing it. I think he missed practice yesterday, but he did practice today.
All right, yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Stephon Diggs, because he's one of the emerging fantasy potential MVPs. He's going to make a lot of difference. Maybe not MVP, won't carry you to a title, but he'll be
pickup of the year type guy.
A pickup of the year type guy. He's going to be one of those players that you'll find in common on a lot of championship teams, because mm-hmm. there was a point when you could get him for next to nothing on the waiver wire. Nobody really thought much of this receiver out of Maryland that was a late round draft pick there, and he's really breaking out.
Yeah, I mean. Former Maryland defensive tackle, current Miami Dolphin, A.J. Francis, he was a teammate of Stephon Diggs's, and he has always contended that Diggs is the best player he's ever been around, period. Mm-hmm. And Diggs was obviously underused at Maryland, and that's probably why his draft stock fell a little bit, and he was a bit of a hothead, but obviously he's turning his talent into real production.
Yeah, who would have thought with Mike Wallace and trendy pick Charles Johnson early in the season that Diggs is the guy that comes out and emerges here. Let's talk about him from a daily standpoint, though. 5,300 on DraftKings, so he's getting kind of grouped in there with Allen Hurns. He's the same price. Eric Decker, also 5,300. You go just below Diggs, the guys like Kendall Wright, Pierre Garçon, Sammy Watkins. Now, after scoring in back-to-back weeks, the price has, of course, gone up, but is there's still value to find here, right?
I think there is, and especially among that group, I would definitely take Diggs. I think, you know, Travis Benjamin is a nice play, like we talked about earlier at 5,200, but Diggs, you know, I wouldn't worry about the questionable designation he carries right now. I think that'll come off the board. And Kendall Wright is looking less and less like he's going to play. Pierre Garçon going against the Patriots, I'm not so sure. So in that kind of like lower, like mid-tier value plays, I think Diggs is probably the best of that little group.
Yeah, one last comment on that. Of course, we know St. Louis stout up front, but their pass defense just outside the top 10, or just inside the top 10, actually number 10 overall, giving up 230 yards per game through the air. So, of course, a good defense, but not necessarily one of the elite pass defenses yet.
Right.
If the Vikings can protect Teddy Bridgewater, I think he can find him again.
Yeah, the Vikings just have a very like balanced offense, so I think they won't be able to key on one facet of the or the Rams won't be able to key on the Vikings one facet or the other. So I think, you know, they'll still be able to throw it on them.
Mm-hmm. All right, as we approach the midway point, want to hit on the Jaguars heading to the Jets, where the Jets are 7.5-point favorites, over under 42.5 on that game there. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been dealing with a thumb injury, it was announced, I believe, on Wednesday that he's in line to start. Chris Ivory with a hamstring injury, also expected to play. I know we recommended maybe Ridley as a deep, deep flyer, but that kind of goes out the window for me when Ivory's suiting up and ready to go out there. On the Jacksonville side, just hitting on injuries, Allen Hurns dealing with an ankle and thigh injuries. He was limited in practice Wednesday. Marquise Lee didn't practice Wednesday. I think I haven't quite seen their injury report yet today there, but I mean, kind of a little bit of a snoozer of a matchup, I guess. Are you watching out for anyone in particular in this game?
I wouldn't say that I'm looking at anyone really in particular, especially for Daly this week in this matchup. I mean, Ivory, I think, is probably going to be the highest producing player, and especially with Fitzpatrick banged up, they're going to want to protect him. They're going to want to get it established on the ground first. So there's just really not a whole lot to see here, especially with Eric Decker kind of banged up, I believe. And Marshall's banged up as well.
I missed that going through the first round of Jets, but he practiced in a limited fashion Thursday. He's dealing with ankle and toe injuries.
I assume he'll play, but you know, banged up Brandon Marshall with the catching passes from a quarterback that's injured. Obviously, it's a non-throwing hand injury, but it can't feel good to be back there holding the ball with a torn thumb ligament.
Mm-hmm. And just real quick on the Jaguars side, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and start T.J. Eldon. I think he's had enough time to get healthy. Now, it's not a great matchup. The Jets' run defense is pretty stout. But the Jaguars seem committed on giving him the ball 20 to 25 times a game. There's not really anyone threatening behind him too much. I don't think anyone's worried about the Toby Gerhardt show. So,
nor should they be.
Yeah, so. Nor should they. Right on, John. So, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and start him despite the matchup. Maybe not in daily, but just because of the matchup, I'm not shying away from him in season long.
I agree. Yeah, I think he's got to slot in as, what would you say, like your number two running back?
Yeah, I would say he'd be a solid RB2 in just about any format. And our value meter kind of agrees with that. He's 13 overall, so just outside of RB1 status. He's right behind D'Angelo Williams in the ranking. Surprisingly, maybe a little bit right ahead of Latavius Murray and the Raiders, who are going to Pittsburgh there. Okay. Well, fantasy football just got a whole lot more interesting. Week 9, DraftKings will be hosting yet another Millionaire Maker event with $1 million going to first place. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code ROTOWIRE to play free with your first deposit on DraftKings. That's promo code ROTOWIRE for a free entry now with your first deposit at DraftKings.com. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Well, John, once again, I'm Jake here, sitting with John here, who's subbing in for Clay. Yep. We're going to continue our Week 9 preview here with one more 1 o'clock Eastern start time, and that is the Raiders, who are heading to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers. Steelers 4.5-point favorites, over-under getting up there 48 on the game here. First question we got to start with is, after Derek Carr went out and threw 4 touchdowns against the Jets last week, is he the real deal? Is he someone that you have to find a way to work into your starting lineup, or not quite yet?
At what point do you say, oh, that's not enough? Because he's done it to the Jets, he's done it to the Chargers, he torched the Ravens earlier this season when it was Amari Cooper's second game, it was still very early in the season, mm-hmm. still just torched the Ravens defense when they were healthy. There's really not a lot you can say detracting Derek Carr at this moment.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And there's a league where I bought Sam Bradford at auction to be my starting quarterback, and it was a keeper league, so I thought I'd sneak in a Teddy Bridgewater $1 bid, mm-hmm. Banking on upside, maybe being able to keep him for next year. I ended up picking Derek Carr off the waiver wire, and he's my starting quarterback the rest of the season, right, and I'm not looking back. I actually last week made the terrible mistake of thinking, okay, Bridgewater's got the Bears, Carr's got the Jets. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start Bridgewater. I lost by 20 points, which is about the difference in the two of those quarterbacks here.
Oh,
so even the experts get it wrong sometimes, I guess here, but on paper, what a great matchup, but I know I'm not going to fall into that trap anymore. Derek Carr is in my starting spot. I mean, unless the Eagles find themselves with a ridiculous matchup the rest of the year. But even mm-hmm. then, the way Sam Bradford's been playing, I'm going to need to see something from him first here. So Derek Carr's my boy the rest of the season. On the Steelers side here, we've got D'Angelo Williams, hottest waiver wire pickup by far. I tried to empty out all my budgets on him. Unfortunately, did not pick up as many shares as I would have liked to. Are you expecting a big game from D'Angelo Williams?
First, I'd like a moment of silence for Le'Veon Bell and so many fantasy teams out there that just kind of saw their title dreams dashed when he got tackled by Vontaze mm-hmm. Burfict there. That was just
that was a brutal one to watch. Yep,
terrible. But D'Angelo Williams, I mean, he looked good in the start of the season when he was playing for the suspended Bell. Now you know he's the bell cow, and I think with that confidence, there's no reason not to play him this week.
Yeah, right on. Just want to remind our listeners that week 1 against the Patriots, who are considered one of the better defenses, he ran the ball 21 times for 127 yards, did not find the end zone until week 2 when he carried the ball 20 times for 77 yards, but scored 3 touchdowns. So somewhere in between there, I think 100 yards and a touchdown is an entirely reasonable expectation. Mm-hmm. On the Steelers side, we all know that Big Ben's back. That means good things for Antonio Brown, but the guy I'm looking for here to start in my daily formats and, of course, pick him up if he's available in my season long is Heath Miller. Now, he was targeted 13 times in week 8, and he seems to have a pretty big role here. Would you almost consider him a must start this week?
I think so. I think Heath Miller is just such a threat at the goal line, and he always has been. But it's just sort of a name that people get, you know, losing the shuffle between the big name guys and all. But Heath Miller is just a consistent guy with great hands and big size, and he always seems to just wind up in the end zone.
Yeah, and of course the Raiders giving up the most fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends.
Gotta like that.
Gotta love that here. And just like looking on DraftKings, top price tight end, of course, is Rob Gronkowski at $8,000. You have to scroll all the way down to $2,700 is the price tag that Heath Miller is carrying this week. The only fear with Heath Miller would be that his ownership percentage will be too high, and it might be a little bit tough to profit.
That's true. On the other side of the field, though, do you like Clive Wolford at all?
Do I like Clive? Is that a serious question? I don't know. Clive Wolford?
He had the touchdown a couple weeks ago. I don't know if that really translates, though, against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, working at third on the depth chart there. Lee Smith and Michael Rivera. Clive Wolford, yeah, sleeper pick. You know, maybe, you know the DraftKings commercial where he's turning to his uncle who's got that sleeper pick, the Ed Norton narrated
Uncle Vito.
One? Uncle Vito, yeah. John, you're my Uncle Vito today, telling me Clive Wolford's about to go off this week. Watch out, listeners. Definitely keep an eye out here. Let's move on to the Sunday afternoon slate, though. We had a 4:05 p.m. Eastern start time. Giants, of course, coming off that shootout with the Saints. They are 2.5-point road favorites against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Over-under on that game, 48. Pretty much a lot of fantasy ownership happening in this game here. Of course, a lot of Giants banged up. Reuben Randle, Larry Donnell, Victor Cruz, all still dealing with their fair share of ailments. If I had a guess, I'd say Randle plays, but I mean, they promoted another tight end from their practice squad today, so I'm not, maybe that tells you something about Larry Donnell. And then you have Victor Cruz, who hasn't really done much this season. ODB's your sure thing, though, of course, right?
Absolutely. I think he's just going to have a huge day. He seems to be clicking now on all cylinders, and obviously last weekend's game was just tremendous, but I think a similar type of game you can almost expect out of him from here on out.
Yeah, I'm right there with you here. What about on the Tampa Bay side? I mean, Jameis Winston has actually been cleaning up the interceptions a little bit lately. He's been throwing touchdowns. I mean, can you start here? I mean, can you trust him this week? I mean, there's quarterbacks on bye here. You're looking at Carson Palmer, Joe Flacco, Matt Stafford, not really using any Texans quarterbacks or Alex Smith, but Russell Wilson. There's four feasible starting quarterbacks. I don't know if you group Flacco in there anymore or not, but there's quarterbacks on bye week. I mean, you can trust Jameis Winston as a stream option given the matchup?
I think so, absolutely. And I think going against the Giants at home, I think that kind of eases any of your concerns a bit given how bad the Giants defense played last weekend. And Jameis has impressed me over the last couple weeks, so I wouldn't mind using him as my starting quarterback in like a 12-team league.
Yeah, I'm right there with you here, and I'm really intrigued by Austin Seferian Jenkins. He's limited Wednesday with a shoulder injury, but he might see his first time on the field here since week two. The Giants, if so, are allowing the second most fantasy points to tight ends. Can you trust him yet, or are you taking a wait-and-see approach?
I think I might take a wait-and-see approach. You know, he's still limited. How much time has he missed?
He hasn't been on the field since week two when he originally got hurt. So.
Boy, that's a lot of rust to accumulate. That's almost 2 months. I think there are better tight ends that we've mentioned here in this podcast that I would use over ASJ.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you. I'm still hanging on to ASJ in my season-long format. I put a hefty bid on him after week one because I kind of punted tight ends and wanted to go out and get
Fair
my
enough.
Guy. That just didn't work out for me there. So worth watching the injury report. Of course, inactives coming out an hour and a half before kickoff here Sunday morning. So stay tuned to rotowire.com for all your latest information there. Let's move on to the Falcons at 49ers. Falcons 7.5-point road favorites. Over-under game 45. Will this day forever go down in history as the start of the Blaine Gabbert era in San Francisco?
I mean, it might be like the start of just a mutiny in San Francisco. I mean, Blaine Gabbert is really one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen. And so in that sense, I'm definitely going with the Falcons anywhere I can defensively on DraftKings or in season long. I think that if the 49ers score more than 10 points, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I would be incredibly surprised. Just all those injuries going against them, especially if Bolden doesn't suit up for whatever reason. And that backfield.
Vernon Davis
is
gone. Yeah, the backfield, I mean, you got Kendall Gaskins, Pierre Thomas, who's just signed off the street, and as was Sean Drone.
Yeah. Drone had some reps. I think maybe he was active 1 week for the Browns earlier this year. Never really contributed much, so I think he's more or less an emergency option. Now, you're going to have to pay up for the Falcons. $3,400 on DraftKings, the second most expensive defense behind the Rams at $3,500. But I actually think the Falcons should outscore the Rams this week just because of the matchup and the situation that's surrounding them. And this is an excellent job by DraftKings on getting those prices right to hopefully skew the ownership percentage of Atlanta a little bit here.
Right.
All right. So how about the 4:25 Eastern game here? We've got a prime time, well, not a prime time matchup, but it'll get some national TV time, I'm sure.
Sure.
And that is the Broncos, who are 5.5-point road favorites, heading to Indianapolis, over under 45 on the day here. This is the big story, of course, is the return of Peyton Manning to Indianapolis here. Do you expect him to follow up that huge day against the Packers with another big day against his old team?
I'd be surprised if he doesn't. I'm really kind of eating my own words on Peyton Manning. I think after week one, a lot of people were saying, man, he can't throw the ball down the field. He's just going to be struggling the rest of the way. Week one is probably the best he's going to look, and he looked bad. Now he looks, he looks a little bit gimpy, but at the same time, he's putting up major numbers, and I definitely like the matchup here.
Yeah, I mean, the matchup's excellent outside of Vontae Davis there for the Colts. The defense hasn't been able to, to cover a whole lot and can't really stop the run a whole lot either. We saw what the Panthers were able to do last week. So I think the matchup is favorable, and I think Peyton Manning doesn't necessarily have to rely on the deep ball to rack up big numbers this week. He can get by throwing slants and stuff to Demarius and letting his receivers do most of the work after the catch.
I did pay up for Demarius in the first lineup I made this week for DraftKings, and I think that's going to pay off well.
Yeah, I believe that will be well worth it here. Speaking of DraftKings, want to do a quick Vernon Davis announcement, just because Vernon Davis, of course, traded. He went from 2-6 to 7-0 with one phone call. That guy's got to be incredibly happy. But watch out, Vernon Davis owners on DraftKings, if you do have him in your lineup in the Millionaire Maker, he won't be accruing fantasy points in this week's Millionaire Maker. So just a heads up, make sure to check that out. I'm looking at the Millionaire Maker values right now, and that's a big message across. So just want to relay that to our listeners quick. But, I mean, Vernon Davis probably needs some time to adjust. You don't really have high expectations this week, right?
Not this week, but I think down the line he's going to be a very nice addition to as a tight end. And, as we've seen, Peyton can really get the most out of his tight ends. He got Julius Thomas a very nice contract, basically.
Yeah, and he even made Owen Daniels and Virgil Green look pretty great last week.
Exactly.
And of course, maybe the Packers had just as much to play in that as Peyton Manning did. But, of course, we know Peyton Manning exactly. I like how you brought up Julius Thomas, who hasn't quite, maybe, I think he's had one decent game, but hasn't been a real big fantasy producer in Jacksonville. Now,
on the other side,
what
do you think of Andrew Luck right now? I mean, do you have any shares of him in season long, or have you used him at all in daily recently?
Right. I mean, I made my fair share of mistakes in fantasy this year, but one thing that I am proud of is every time I had a chance to take Andrew Luck, I went ahead and took Aaron Rodgers instead. That's probably just my fanboy coming out and me and wanting to get Rodgers. But like, I normally don't stretch for a quarterback, so I was never really in a position to take that. But I did do one 14-team Fox Sports League where I was in the second round. I noticed that quarterbacks were given 6 points for touchdowns. That struck me as a little odd. I think I had the fourth overall pick. I took Antonio Brown because it's full PPR. Mm-hmm. And then coming back, no quarterback had been taken yet. Rodgers was still available. I did that. But I don't really have too many shares of Luck. But at the same time, if you own Luck, there's not a whole lot you can do about it right now. It's not like you could trade him and sell him at its lowest value. I think you need to hang on to him and wait it out. I think he'll help a decent amount during the second half of the season here. As he starts to get healthier, you would think. I know the telecasts like to blame injuries for a lot of his problems last week. But Andrew Luck, at the very least, that defense is struggling so hard that he's going to have to play from behind in the majority of his contests. So.
Right. I would just worry a lot about him this week with that matchup against the Broncos. With that, the offensive line in front of Andrew Luck is one of the more Swiss cheese offensive lines there is right now. And he's banged up. I think his receivers are going to get locked up on the outside by Denver's secondary. It just really isn't setting up well for Andrew Luck.
Yeah, and Andrew Luck, the fifth highest priced quarterback on DraftKings in the Millionaire Maker this week at $7,000. So I would probably avoid that price tag.
That's a bit rich for my blood.
Yeah, to avoid that price tag at all costs there. How about the Sunday night game, 8:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff here? We've got the Eagles that are heading to the Cowboys in that game, over under 44.5. Eagles, 2.5-point road favorites here. Of course, the Cowboys, again, without Tony Romo, but you expect Des Bryant to get a lot more involved this week. Are you buying the Eagles as road favorites? Do you think they can head into Jerry World and pull out the victory?
I think it's definitely something that very well could happen. The Eagles have been playing a little bit better of late, I feel like. And the Cowboys, it's just tough to trust them without Romo. Mm-hmm. I think that just kind of really changes the whole complexion of that team. Even with Des Bryant back, still I'm just not sold on the Cowboys until Romo comes back. And, you know, I do love Darren McFadden with Joseph Randle gone. But other than that, I think the Eagles have a very good shot of winning this game.
Yeah, Christine Michael never really settled into the role that a lot of us expected him to. That seemed to be a smoke show.
That's the story of his career, it seems like.
Yeah, that's been with every destination so far, at least. Mm-hmm. So it looks like Darren McFadden, you should be able to expect 20 to 25 touches from him.
Yes.
If not more, if anything, from this game. 20 to 25 carries, maybe a couple looks out of the backfield. I guess we'll see if he'll be a security blanket for Matt Castle. But now it's time to start Des Bryant in your season-long formats. If you took a wait and see last week, I'd say it's probably about time. Eagles defense, I'd say probably exceeding expectations this week, but if you get a healthier Des Bryant, I think he's in for a big game there.
I think so too.
All right, what about those Eagles? What are you doing if you have Bradford, Murray, of course, getting on a little bit, Matthews? I mean, Bradford's obviously no longer a must start. I think he's closer to a must sit than that. Can you drop him at this point?
I think, you know, if you took like the Derek Carr type of approach, or if Derek Carr is still floating around, or Jameis Winston, I'd almost prefer those guys just on upside alone over Bradford, because, you know, people love to talk about the Chip Kelly system, but it just seems like you're just blowing smoke at a certain point. Bradford really hasn't impressed me at all this season, nor has he really ever, and even with St. Louis. So
Yeah, I thought the extra reps and the pace were going to help his counting stats. It's just like predicting field goal attempts in an NBA game, pass attempts. You want to try to chase that, but I think I chased that a little bit too much this year, and I'm paying for it quite a bit right now. I'm still optimistic about Jordan Matthews as a solid wide receiver too. The rest of the season, he'll see enough targets, I'm guessing, and probably score enough times to return that type of value. But Bradford, I'm finally ready to throw in the towel
with Matthews. I definitely see where you're coming from with the target volume, and he has like the measurables and all that good stuff to really kind of make a good case as your wide receiver number two. But whenever I watch the Eagles play, I feel like he's just not strong to the ball, and every time I watch them, I always see him just not coming up on the right side of a 50-50 ball or something like that. And I'm a little bit more tepid on him, I'd say.
I can see where you're coming from. Do you think another year in the league might help him in that department? Could he be a solid pick looking ahead to next year's drafts?
I think so. I think, you know, coming out of Vanderbilt, he was a very solid player. And I think, you know, he will mature and he'll get stronger and be more confident, you know, going up for those balls. But for right now, like I said, I'm a little bit hesitant on him, but I definitely understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, exactly. Another offseason of conditioning can only help his case there. And
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I've watched the Eagles a couple times with some of their national TV appearances, and, you know, thinking back on that, I can absolutely see where you're coming from there. Mm-hmm. All right, how about the Monday night football game, November 9th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff? We've got the Chicago Bears heading to San Diego, where the Chargers are 4-point home favorites, over-under on that game, 49. I think at first glance, it might be projected to be the second highest scoring game of the week, so a couple of porous defenses here, ready to give up some points. However, there are a lot of injuries that are worth noting in this game that have possibly brought the over-under down a little bit. Mm-hmm. First and foremost is Matt Forte. We know he's dealing with a knee injury. We know he hasn't had a timetable to return yet. And we also know that he technically hasn't been ruled out up until the point when I started prepping this podcast earlier in the afternoon. Despite all that, I mean, you got to imagine. Okay, so the Bears are one of the worst at reporting injuries in the league here. But does all that lead you to believe that Jeremy Langford is the man to own this week?
Yes, absolutely. I do have a bid out for Langford in pretty much all my leagues. I think that he's going to be the guy, presuming that Matt Forte doesn't play. And I would really, really be shocked if Forte is able to come out and play on Monday night. So Langford is my guy, more so than like a Kadeem Carey. Mm-hmm. I really like the way Langford ran at Michigan State. And I think that going against the Chargers run defense, obviously the Ravens didn't get a whole ton of success against that run defense last week, but that was just kind of a strange week, and I would really buy into Langford this week.
Yeah, and thinking about his daily prices, which is where I could see potentially gaining the most use out of him, I was actually a little surprised. He's sitting at $4,000 in daily formats, of course the same price as, well, Joseph Randle, you can count him out, but mm-hmm. same price as guys like Carlos Williams and even Melvin Gordon there, so wow. I think DraftKings is getting kind of ahead of the pack, realizing that Forte injury should bring Langford up a little bit. The only tough part about Langford is I don't know if I've seen enough of a sample size to really trust him yet.
Sure.
You might fall into that backup trap there, but I don't know, possibly something to consider. On the other side of the ball, there are a couple major injuries. I want to start out with Keenan Allen, of course, out for the season. Tragically for me,
that's rough.
Carrying me in my PPR league.
He was king.
Yeah, he was third in the league with 89 targets before suffering that kidney lesion that would cost him his season. Fortunately, he's expected to make a full recovery. In the meantime, he was getting all those targets. Do we see these going more to Malcolm Floyd and Stevie Johnson, or does Bree stick to the guys that he likes with guys like Antonio Gates, maybe Danny Woodhead out of the backfield? If there's anybody to target, who would it be, and how do you recover if you're a Keenan Allen owner?
I'm really interested to see how this kind of works out, because I don't really think that this really kills Phillip Rivers' value at all, but you know, it's very hard to predict, and it has been for years, where all the numbers are coming from in the receiving game for the Chargers. And Stevie Johnson, I really like him a lot, but is he banged up right now a little bit?
He might be a little bit. I'll check on that here real quick. Yeah, he doesn't have an injury designation in our database, so I think he's okay. It's Ladarius Green that's banged up. He left the game with an ankle injury in the first quarter. Everything seemed great about that matchup until, of course, the injury happened to derail things. And you're right, Stevie Johnson dealt with a shoulder injury leading up to the game, but ended up only being targeted four times, finished with two catches for 28 yards. But, I mean, I think he's a decent option. As a Keenan Allen owner myself, mm-hmm. I had noticed that somebody in my league had to make a real tough drop call before the game started on Sunday, mm-hmm. and I went ahead and picked him up as a late waiver for the next weekend. And because some of those you can kind of get by with the $0 bids with that second period. So I'm hoping to land him so I don't have to resort to starting the likes of Brandon LaFell on Sunday.
Yeah, you don't want any part of that. But I also do like Danny Woodhead, and I think also Gates probably sees a bit of a jump or really, you don't have to worry about Keenan Allen stealing targets from Antonio Gates. Not that he's necessarily stealing them, because he deserved them, obviously, but I think Gates is probably a really, really good play the rest of the way.
Yep, and as far as daily formats go, Antonio Gates, the fifth highest priced tight end on DraftKings, checking in right behind Martellus Bennett, but right ahead of Jordan Reed. His price tag is $4,700 this week. So
it's not terrible.
I think that's a pretty good play, especially if Ladarius Green happens to get ruled out during the week there. All right, well, thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use the promo code RotoWire when you make your deposit for a free contest entry today. Also, check out RotoWire free for 10 days by going to RotoWire.com/pod. That's RotoWire.com/POD. John, it was a pleasure. Thanks for joining
me
today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. The RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast will be back on Friday.